Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. My name is Bill Dupenthaler.
And I'm Mike Conan, and this is a podcast for disciples who want to make disciples. Well, everybody, it's Christmas time. This is Mike and Bill, as you just heard, and it is that time of year where we're hanging up the lights, putting up the tree, wrapping the presents, and starting to party and celebrate the coming of Jesus. Yeah. And we have kind of made it our tradition in the podcast to take a pause with whatever we're doing and talk about Jesus coming at Christmas. And, you know, Bill, before we jump into the Christmas story, why don't you share, what's your favorite thing about Christmas? I mean, as you think about Christmas, what's the thing that you love the most?
Man, you know, it's hard to nail down one thing, you know, but I do really, really just love this whole season. I love the fact that at least this time of year, it's, you know, kind of politically correct to talk about Jesus and to bring up, you know, things about Jesus and faith and the birth of Christ and all that kind of thing. I love that. I think it opens up a lot of doors for conversations. You know, so from a ministry standpoint, I love it because it's just a really cool time for that kind of thing. And I love, especially more in just recent years since we've been doing Legacy, I've loved like really diving in, you know, and looking at the Christmas stories in the Bible and there's so many, as we'll talk about a little bit when we're looking at Luke 2 today, there's so many little nuggets in there, you know, that are super encouraging. But I think for me overall, you know, my answer is going to be probably like most people would say, you know, it's being with family. And for us, it's going to be a special one because coming out of COVID, you know, that put a lot of families, kind of in difficult situations with
separated.
Yeah, you know? Separated, not able to be together every time. And so this is going to be the first time that we've had, and we've had three grandkids born since, you know, since COVID started in 2020. And so this is going to be our first Christmas with everybody all together and, you know, all our kids and their spouses and their kids, which are our grandkids. And so just really looking forward to that. How about you?
Oh, that's good. You know, I like all of it. And I think that the part I like the most is definitely the coming together aspect of Christmas. It feels like it's a coming together time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think of Easter as kind of Jesus's moment, you know, like when he rose from the dead, much more so than when he was born. But there's a lot there too. And And by the way, I did get my China lights up. I told you last time we were on the podcast that I'd ordered China lights and they finally came and I loved them so much. I actually ordered some more. So yeah, they're pretty cool. And, so I like that part too, you know, all the fun stuff. I even like the little Christmas movies and stuff.
Yeah.
I like those things.
Yeah. That's definitely another thing for me that, I love, Jody and me, like all of our, traditions and we do a lot of things, you know, pretty much the same every year. And even just the process taking down all the fall decor and bringing up all the crates full of Christmas decorations and just decking out the house with all the lights and the Christmas, you know, things and cutting cedar boughs at my daughter's house and just putting up the lights, like you said, and just all that stuff and watching the Christmas movies. We watched two last night while we were wrapping presents, you know, till 1 a.m. And it's just like I just really, you know, treasure all those traditions and I can't wait for the Christmas Eve service at church. I just look forward to that every year, and it's just a really, really, you know, it can be a really, really magical time.
Well, that's a good segue as we're then going to talk about the first one, you know, and we talked about maybe doing it through the lens of there's kind of two things happening simultaneously in the first story, you know, and you're going to read the first story in a minute, but as he reads it, you know, and as you listen, There's two things happening side by side here. One is we have this humble servant Jesus coming to the earth. The God-man is going to be born in a manger. And at the other side, we have this amazing Jesus who the angels can't stop singing about. And so it's kind of like this humble yet glorious Savior comes into the world. And so I'm going to just turn it over to you and let you read that Luke 2 passage, and then we'll talk about it for a little bit and enjoy it together.
Yeah, so this is the passage that that Linus reads on on the Peanuts Christmas movie, which if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's okay, but it's actually you know, kind of a fun little you know, Christmas cartoon, old school, but pretty cool, because you know, little Linus character comes out and he reads, you know, this story that I'm about to read. You know, so this is from Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his hometown to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with that angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And that's the story of Christmas.
Yeah. As you're reading it, Bill, what part stood out to you the most? Or were you just trying to get through it?
Oh, no. it is. Definitely when you're trying to read something, you're trying to focus on, you know, pronouncing everything correctly. But I think that the thing that jumped out at me was that at first there was one angel who was talking to the shepherds and kind of explaining what was happening. And then it's like all of heaven, you know, couldn't, you know, restrain themselves anymore. And so then all of a sudden, you know, the sky was filled with angels worshiping. And of course when I see that glory to God in the highest, I think of, you know, glory, you know, that famous hymn,
yeah,
In Excelsis Deo, you know, so that's, I think that's the number one.
Angels we have heard
angels
on
we've
high.
Heard on her. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's the one that stood out.
Well, we were talking about that yesterday. That is definitely my favorite part of this story, of the Christmas story.
Sorry to steal your thunder. Ask me first.
No, I didn't mean it that way at all. I just think it's cool because sometimes, you know, you don't think about those things sometimes. And then all of a sudden when you see it, you can't unsee it. You know what I mean? And it's that moment where you're like, what stood out to me was something very parallel to that is first we have the story of the baby being born. And then it's like the father says, you know, there's not enough celebration happening here.
Yeah.
There is not enough people who know what is happening. I've got to get more people here. And so then he sends his angel, his messenger. And if you don't know the Bible that well, almost always in the Bible, when God speaks to someone, he speaks to them through an angel. And this is just how God chooses to do it. Their angels are messengers mm-hmm. from God primarily. We also, you know, this isn't an angel podcast. But anyway, he sends the angel to these shepherds. And it's as if God is saying, I need more people here. More people need to know what's happening. This can't just be Mary and Joseph and, you know, the people in the barn. It has got to be more people here. And so it's the same thing you're saying, because I picture that story with the angels going the same way. You know, that one angel is giving the announcement, hey, to us a child is born, blah, blah, you know, and you know, I bring you good news of great joy and for all the world. And then all of a sudden, it's just pandemonium. Like you said, it's like the heavens are split mm-hmm. open and the angels are coming down because they just can't help but celebrate and party this great news, this good news of great joy. And it stood out to me again this time is how much the Father wanted everybody to see what was happening in the heavens because Jesus was born.
Yeah.
And the shepherds are an unlikely suitor for that, you know, because they're in some ways they're the least likely because they're not the most prestigious people in the community by far. I mean, they smelled bad. They were often the people who got the shepherding job were people who they thought, you know what, why don't you just take the shepherding job so we don't have to see you? Mm-hmm. So you go outside the city and the Lord says, I'm going to invite those folks. And maybe they were the perfect captive audience because I don't think they were closest by any stretch. It says they had to travel to Bethlehem to get there. So they were on the outskirts of Bethlehem,
yeah.
But pretty fascinating. And so that part stood out to me this time as you were reading it.
Yeah. Well, I love, you know, the fact that in order to see what was happening, you had to have your eyes open. You had to be watching, you know, and so, because obviously, you know, other people could have seen these angels too. And maybe, you know, and just because the Bible doesn't specifically mention, you know, and there were other people in Bethlehem that saw the angels too. The Bible doesn't say that. Maybe some people did see it, but certainly for these shepherds, they were the ones that were watching and were available and had their eyes open to see what God was doing. Yeah, that's a pretty good little principle for us to remember.
Well, I don't even know if they could help, you know, when an angel fills the sky. I love the response to the angel. That was the other thing that stood out to me. I was just reminded, you know, and it says they were afraid. You know, that's the common response when an angel comes is they were afraid. And then the angel says, do not be afraid. And
yeah, yeah.
I bring you good news.
Yeah.
I'm great joy.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome moment.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's kind of like what we're talking about. In one sense, this birth of Jesus is not what we see in the little manger scene in this. It's, oh, it's so quiet. It's so calm. It's so peaceful.
And, all is calm. All is bright.
Yeah. Oh, it may have started off that way. You know, because there is something about a newborn baby being born that is calming and peaceful and it's powerful. I mean, but at the same time, the Lord did not keep it that way for long. He wanted not chaos, but he wanted a celebration. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty awesome the way that he orchestrated it. I don't know. What else stood out to you in the story?
Well, I was thinking about also just the first part of the story. We've talked a lot about in the last few years, you know, this just the whole idea of divine appointments and having your eyes open to what God is doing and paying attention, and it must have been such a crazy time for Joseph and Mary. She's about to give birth, and then this proclamation, comes out that they're taking a census, and it couldn't have been worse timing for them, and you have to return to your hometown for the census, and they get to Bethlehem, and of course it's Christmas, and so there's no place to stay. That was a joke. Can you imagine traveling on Christmas Eve? Gosh, must have been so tough. But it's interesting that they're traveling and they're Joseph's like, man, I don't know, where are we going to stay? And it was a difficult thing to find a place to stay because of the whole census thing. There were a lot of people that had traveled, from out of town. And when we were in Bethlehem a few years ago, they were telling us that I know it says there was no room for them in the inn, at least our guides when we were in Bethlehem, they were saying it was probably more likely that they would have gone to like some relatives' homes, and said, do you have any? Can we stay with you? And it's like, well, we're full, but most of the homes there were not like really, like wooden structures like we think of little homes in the United States, and it wasn't like they had a barn out and back, with a cute little stable, and it was more likely that they probably went to some relative's house, and they're like, there's really no room, but we could put you downstairs where the animals are, and at least it's warm, and we could find some blankets and that kind of thing, and put you down there, I love the idea of just this whole process of Joseph and Mary just trusting God okay, God, this is crazy. We know that you told us that we were going to be, the earthly parents of the coming Messiah, but this isn't how I pictured it happening. But, whenever we have something in our life that's difficult or is turning out not how we expected, that's the time to really have your eyes wide open to see, okay, what the heck is God doing right now?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, it's such a vivid image, though. And I agree with what you're saying that, from what I've come to understand in the last few years anyway, that was most likely scenario that they stayed in the home, but just the animal part of the home.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the passage makes it so clear there's no room for them at the inn. And he does that for a reason, I think, and I think that he wants everyone to know that this is a really humble birth.
Yeah.
This is not the king coming into the inn and taking up and renting the whole floor, for his royal, entourage. This is a family, like you said, Bill, that struggled even to find a place to sleep, let alone give birth to their baby. And you also wonder, well, that people look at her and say, dude, you're about to have a baby. I do not think that this is going to be a great place for you here. We don't want that mess here, and the baby screaming.
And yeah.
I don't know what the whole, but it's almost as if Jesus's story starts with rejection. And it purposely is told that way. And it's told in this almost depressing, what they couldn't even find a place to sleep. And she's going to give this baby, have this baby, with the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost think of it like Mowgli, he's the jungle boy, there's, I mean, that's how the manger scene, that's still how I picture it. He's there with all the animals and his first friends, the first people he meets are the donkey and the horse, it's pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is interesting about this story. On one hand, like we talked about, it's glorious and it's awesome. And it's awe-inspiring to think the King of the world has come. And God was so excited for the King of the world to come that he sent angels to tell the shepherds, you know, because he couldn't keep it a secret anymore. It was almost as if God's up there thinking, you know what, I can't. You know, yesterday I sent you a picture, a painting that is my favorite Christmas painting. And as I sent it to you, I was thinking about, I was so excited for you to see it. And I sent it to a couple of our other legacy guys yesterday too, because I was so excited for them to see it, because I wanted them to have that same joy that I had, you know, of seeing this painting. And the painting is, maybe we'll put it in the notes, but it's this, the shepherds in art, and all you see in the sky is angel after angel. It's like the heavens are opened up and the angels are flooded down. And it's this immense party and celebration. And I guess that I was thinking that that's what God must have felt like too. I want them to see this. I want them to know this. It's so great. I can't just have myself know what's going on here. I want others to know. And even Mary, I don't think fully understood at all. And so anyway, it's like the perfect Jesus beginning though. It's humble. Because Jesus did come as a humble man, but it's also glorious and beautiful and powerful in a way that is just like Jesus is the beautiful, powerful, holy, almighty God of the universe. And it's the perfect story for the God-man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you think about it that way.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, you move ahead in the story and the... The shepherds who got this message from the angel and then they witnessed this incredible, you know, worship service, you know, with all the angels and then all of a sudden it's kind of over and they're like, oh my gosh, we have to go find this baby that they've talked about, and so they it says that they hurried off. And who knows how long it took them, maybe a couple of hours, you know, to hike in from out in the hills, you know, around Bethlehem. But it says they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. And I imagine that, and it doesn't say it right here, but I imagine that they sensed the presence of God in a pretty darn powerful way. And I imagine them bowing down and worshiping Jesus.
Well, that's certainly how the Christmas ornaments
depict it. Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Speaking of that, it's kind of funny. We were we had some people over last night, and we were looking at our little manger scene, which actually it's a super cool one that we bought when we were in Bethlehem a few years ago, and it's all made out of olive wood, and it's one of our really most treasured, you know, possessions. This you know, what are they called, creche or something like that. Anyways, we were looking at this whole thing, and of course it's got all the characters, including. It has, you know, the three wise men, the kings that came from the east, or maybe they were, you know, astrologers or whoever. But it's pretty clear when you read the story that they weren't actually there in the manger. They didn't arrive till maybe a year or two later, and so we were playing around with the three little. The three little guys, and we actually were stuck them way at the far end of the shelf.
That's hilarious. You know, like they're on their journey.
Like they're on their journey. I thought, well, that'll be kind of fun. But Jody didn't let us keep it there. He had to put it back. But no, they have to be in the manger scene. But I thought, you know, that's actually kind of a... Yeah, but it'd be kind of a fun, like, you know, like you have people over, and you kind of stick the three little kings, like, way out on the side, you know, as a conversation starter. But...
You can make a little road, like bring some dirt in and make a little
exactly,
road.
Exactly, yeah. There they are on the road. But the shepherds were there that night, and they got to see the baby Jesus, and they were so impressed that the next couple of verses, it describes two different things about them. One, it says that they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child. So that's kind of a cool idea, spreading the word. You know, how about that for you know, legacy and the things we talk about all the time? You know, and then go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, how could you not?
Yeah.
How could you not? I mean, if you had heard from the angels and had seen, you're hearing from one angel, and all of a sudden the heavens open up and the hosts, by the way, hosts are groups. If you didn't know that, I just learned that a few years ago, frankly. I always thought a host was like a hostess at the restaurant, you know, so I'm thinking it's like one person. No, a host is like this large group. And can you imagine, Bill, if you'd seen that and you'd heard God talk to you through an angel? How could you not help but tell people about it? Like, you'd be shouting, you wouldn't believe what happened. We're out here, and all of a sudden, you know, there's one angel. We're like, whoa, there's an angel. This is crazy. Can you believe it? We're nudging each other. I went over and I got Tommy, and he's like, dude, you can't believe this. Look what's happening. And then, you know, next thing you know, the whole heavens open up, and they're telling us about this baby. And, you know, that's the basic story. For us, you know, a Savior is born, and they knew the story about the promised one coming. Mm-hmm. And so if you could just imagine, how could you help but not tell people?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you've had that kind of an experience with the God of the universe, how could you not help but tell people about him? You know, that's, I love that line, you won't commend what you don't cherish, you know? And when you come to meet God and have an experience with God, you can't wait to tell people about God. And I guess that's what I think about.
Yeah, and it's not as dramatic as that in most cases, you know, but it's equally as meaningful and equally as life-changing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And then it says, so that's the one thing it says about them, that they spread the word. And then the second thing it says, as they were returning back to the hills, it says they were glorifying and praising God. And so clearly just filled with joy. As they went, for all the things
when the angel had said, when the angel had said, "Hey, I'm going to give you good news of great joy," the shepherds were the first to experience that great joy.
Yeah,
you know that, and I'd like to think that the joy was not just the angels, but I'm sure that's a big part of it. I mean, can you imagine anything more awesome than seeing something like that? Except perhaps the one thing that would be greater is seeing the baby Jesus. And in knowing who he is, and like you said, Bill, you would sense the presence of God. Yeah. You would have to. And how amazing would that have been for them? And we're told it was so amazing that they couldn't help it. They were going home singing.
Yeah.
They went home singing.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you go home singing from places? Yeah. And you know, in our world today, we aren't a singing culture anymore. So it's really that would really be a stretch today to go home singing, you know, from somewhere.
Yeah.
How cool is that? That they were so filled with joy, all they could do was sing.
Yeah.
And I hope that's the way that when we meet Jesus and are with Jesus, even in the midst of pain, it's these guys, certainly their life wasn't perfect. Like I said, they were probably pretty ostracized guys, you know, and in this moment, though, when they had met Jesus, the universe was aligned.
Yeah.
You know, and the heavens had been rendered open, and it was this powerful, powerful moment that they enjoyed. And then there's that line, too, where Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart, which is in the middle of all that you're talking about. And so Mary, at the same time, is looking at what's happening and thinking, wow, this is crazy. I heard from an angel, too. But now the angels brought these shepherds here. Like, I wasn't crazy. Like, that's had to be what she was thinking, you know. And she's sitting there just absorbing the moment. And there's a place for that at Christmas time, too, I think, where you just ponder and enjoy the moment and observe the moment. And, like, I always think about this could be the last time that we have all of our kids get it for Christmas, you know, because we're... You don't know.
You just never know.
So we have a couple that are gone off to college, and you never know if they'll go off far away and they don't come back, or, you know, for holidays, or you just never know. And so you just want to hold on to those things and enjoy the moment with your family. But also, especially when we think about Christmas, it is a marvelous, mysterious, crazy time where the God, the glorified God of the universe, humbly becomes one who's rejected from the very beginning, and who's this humble son, and it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that too, and applied it to us today. Like that this idea of treasuring these things and treasuring these moments, and I bet for Mary too, and for Joseph as well, even though he isn't mentioned here, but I bet for both of them, they were probably, you know, just sitting there in that place, and just thinking, you know, thinking about what the angels had told them, and thinking about who this baby was, and it must have been just a surreal moment to like, okay, here we go, we are going to change the world, and this is day one of this, and it's like, oh Lord, help us, but I'm going to treasure this moment because. This is probably as calm as it's going to get for the rest of my life.
What? And if they only would have known it was going to be the blueprint for who Jesus was.
Yeah.
And on one hand, he's this humble, you know, can't find a place for him in. And on the other hand, he's the glorious God of the universe. And this is going to be how they're going to live the rest of their life.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to see that side by side. And we see it in the stories of Jesus. We see it in the story in the way that Mary interacts with Jesus. There's both and.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the God-man, and it's mysterious. It's wonderful. This first moment is the most mysterious moment in history, where how does a God take on flesh? And we're not here to talk about that necessarily. We're just here to ponder the moment, but it's like, man, what a moment and a great way to head into the story of Jesus, who would be, what does it look like to live as the God-man?
Yeah.
And that's what the rest of the story of Luke and Matthew and Mark and John.
Yeah.
Like. So pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, with that, let's wrap up. But Mike, you know, wish you a great Christmas with your family heading back to South Dakota. Is that right?
Yep. That's where my mother-in-law is from. So yeah, it'll be great to go and be with that. Oh, so many great family back there. Just great people.
Yeah.
It's really fun. It's snow. Yeah. Two of the kids will get snow, and that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
And I've got 2.5 drivers. My 15-year-old just got his permit, so I'm thinking about letting him drive, and my wife doesn't want him to drive, so it'll be an interesting adventure. Maybe when she's sleeping, I'll let him drive.
Maybe not in the snow. But.
You got to learn sometime.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And we're going to have everybody around here. And so we're looking forward to having our whole family together, like I mentioned earlier. And we wish all of you a just incredible, blessed Christmas. And man, I hope that you can have, all of us can have our eyes wide open to really see and experience the joy of this season, and to see what God's doing, and to treasure those times with our family, and to treasure those times. I hope that you'll find a church to go to on Christmas Eve and treasure those moments there. We're just so grateful for all of you, and we're so thankful that you are listening to this podcast and you're following along with our ministry, with Our True Legacy. It's not too late to support us for the end of the year. You can support us anytime, of course, financially to help keep the ministry going. You just go to our website, ourtruelegacy.com, and click on the Giving tab, and we'd appreciate that. Thanks for praying for us. If you need prayer for anything, please, you know, go to the website and message us there, and we'd be happy to pray for you as well. And let's just continue to just be God's people during this season who are spreading the news concerning all that we've been told about Jesus and all that we've experienced. And let's continue to be disciples who make disciples. Amen.
Amen.